Again, good evening to you. If you will turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, that's where we will get started tonight. Although I'm going to back up and cover some things quickly. So go to Titus 3. I'm going to read probably a couple scriptures, but nothing that, you know, we haven't already had. We are studying 100 reasons and 100 scriptures proving eternal security. This is lesson number 6. We've been going on this since we started. We haven't stopped. We're not going to stop till we're done. I hope we're done by Sunday night. But we're on number 38. You know, I find it fascinating. When Brother M.L. Mosier Sr. wrote these things back in the 60s or 70s or maybe even 50s, wherever he did write them, it's very powerful. He wrote something that was very precious. Most people don't even get to read it because you can only find it if you search for it on the internet. I think Brother LaSage put it on their website. I plan on putting it on our website after I'm done. I do have all the messages uploaded to our website, also our sermon audio. But when we talk about eternal security, we're talking about something that God has given to us. But I find as my studies, I started my studies of the church, how that we are to come out and be separate from the rest of the world. We're not to associate ourselves with our brethren, even, who don't believe like we do. Back in Brother Jared Graves' time, back in Tennessee, when he wrote the old landmarkism book that I'm reading now, he had one big issue, and that was pedo-Baptist. And pedo-Baptist believes in infant baptism. But you fast forward that till today, and we got even a lot of Baptist brothers that don't agree with us. I mean, it's terrible, isn't it? It's at the amount of disagreement there is. But when you talk about salvation, you're talking about something totally different because you're talking about something God has done. Salvation is not something you've done. A lot of people think that they do things to save themselves when they're wrong. They're wrong. We started this, and the finer points of this is our first several points. First, that God promised the believer eternal life. He says in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. That's what I give them, God said. And then he speaks in John 3:16 that we're saved through his son, and he's given us each everlasting life. And then he goes to 1 Peter 1:5, where he talks about we are kept by the power of God. We don't have to keep ourselves. That's what people don't understand. We are born of God. Birth, as though our mother gave birth to us, God gave birth to us. And then in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, he says the believer is born of God. It don't get any simpler, does it? We are born of God, born from above. And then our sixth point was, the believer has been passed from death unto life. You pass by death. You come out of it. Colossians says we've been translated. God's promises, folks, every one of them. And now we're at number 38 of 100. We got a couple scriptures that we're going to be in for a while, just like we was with John 10. Because there's a lot of points in one scripture sometimes. You can open up one scripture, you'll see tonight, and get several different points. First, let's go to verse number 38. Go to Titus chapter 3, if you will. 38 is, the believer is not saved by what he does, but by what Christ has done for him. You do nothing to save yourself. Jesus Christ did what it took. He satisfied the justice and righteousness of God for you and for me at Calvary. And Titus 3:5, look at the very few first words. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That takes us completely out of the scenario of salvation. That right there tells you one thing, and one thing loud and clear: you have nothing to do with you being saved. You did not cause yourself to believe. You did not make a decision. You did not turn over a new leaf, because you are not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You know what mercy actually does mean? Pity. Look it up. Literally means that God had pity on you. I'm thankful that he did. I'm not ashamed that he had pity on me. Thank you, Lord. But by his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans 4. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Abraham wasn't saved by his righteousness, by his works. He was saved because he believed God. You are saved because you believe God. You believe God because God caused you to believe. You didn't all of a sudden go against your old nature and believe God. You were brought there. John 6 says you were drugged there. He says he drew you. It means drug. 39. Salvation is a gift, not a wage. Salvation is a gift, not a wage. Go to Romans 6. Most of you know the scripture very well. You know all the scriptures. You grew up in the church with them. We preach them all the time, because the most blessed thing to us as Christians is our eternal security. Salvation is a gift. You didn't earn it. A wage you earn. I go to work. I work every day. I work as many hours as I can every day so that I can earn a wage and I can support my family, pay my bills. But you didn't do that for salvation. It's not a wage. For Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what your wage is. You don't know what you want God to give you what you earned. That's what you've earned. You've earned death. God never says the wage of salvation is believing. He says the wage is death. Wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. a gift. It's not earned. It's not a wage. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't strive for it. What you work for, what you strive for in this life is eternal damnation and lake of fire. That's what you earned. God's given to us as a gift by mercy and by grace out of love. He's given to us eternal life. Number 40, 1 Peter 1, if you will. 1 Peter 1. Point number 40. It's a believer's hope. It's a living hope. Think about that word, living. You have not just a hope, but you have a living hope. Let's read the scripture. Brother Moser put down 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, there's that word again, isn't it, mercy, has he begotten us. You know what begotten? It means to birth you, to give to you life. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope lives. We have living hope about us. What did God tell us in 1 Corinthians, 15, I think? Where he says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. It's in vain. Our hope is a living hope. It's alive in Jesus. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Sits on the right hand of God. What a blessing is that? What a blessing. It's not a dead hope. It's not a hope that there really may not be any hope. It's a real hope in a man that died on this earth, shed his blood, and God accepted it as cleansing agent for our sins. Amen. Allowed him to be crucified, buried, rose again, and ascended up, sits on the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. That's our hope, folks. Our hope is the same hope Stephen saw when he was being stoned to death, and he said, I see Jesus. That's our hope. And for number 41 is, we'll go, if you're in 1 Peter 1, stay there. The believer's hope, since it's a lively, our living hope, will never fade away. That's number 41. Our hope will never fade away. Nor will it ever get dim. How long you been saved? I venture to say most of you have been saved for years, if not decades. And you've never lost your hope, have you? Your light has never grown faded, has it? No, it hasn't. Because you have a lively hope. You have a living hope. Drop down to, you just read verse 3. Let's read verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance. Incorruptible. And undefiled. That fadeth not away. Listen, this is powerful, folks. Reserved for you in heaven. Reserved for you in heaven. It don't fade away. It don't go off into the sunset. God is not a God. He's not a man that he should lie. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's who he is. That's who God is. They're truth. They never lie. God who cannot lie. Titus 1. That faith is not a ray reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God. How? By your works? No, through faith. Through faith. Unto salvation. And ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise the Lord. Folks, that's hope, isn't it? That's real hope. Does this sound like something we can lose? No, the Lord says it doesn't even fade away. It don't matter if you live to be 110, you still have the same hope. If you're in 1 Peter 1, stay there. Because our number 42 is the believer's hope is reserved. Reserved. What's reserved mean? It's set aside for you. Isn't that what it means? The Lord says it's reserved in verse 4 of 1 Peter 1. It says, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fading on the way, reserved for you. For who? For you. You who are a child of God by the power of God and the works of Jesus Christ. God has reserved for you an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is your eternal life, isn't it? Amen. Reserved. Don't sound like something you lose, does it? Reserved for you in heaven. Thank you, Lord. You just have to say thank you, Lord, don't you? 43. Stay there. We've got a couple more. We're going to hit a few more in there. There's a lot of points here. I told you, there's a lot of points in these scriptures. Not only is it reserved for you, set aside for you in heaven, number 43 is a believer's inheritance. It's what? Incorruptible. Incorruptible. Corruptible things will waste away, won't they? They will rot. They will rust. But what you have, what God has given to you, and Brother Moses' 43rd point is, it is incorruptible. It's set aside for you, and it's incorruptible. Why? Why is it incorruptible? Because it's in the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. You have been born again from heaven. Amen. Never to die again. Yes, your body will die. Yes, you will. You'll be put in the ground someday. We just put one of our church members there, didn't he? He's not there. He's walking with all of them in heaven, isn't he? He's having a good time right now. He's praising the Lord. waiting. Him and all of them gone on before us, they're waiting for one thing. You know what they're waiting on? Jesus to come. So their salvation can be complete and they can get their bodies. We have an inheritance incorruptible. Praise the Lord. Now, he goes on in 1 Peter 1:4. And what's he saying right after incorruptible? That's our 44th point. He says that our inheritance cannot be defiled. Just can't be. It's impossible. Everything in our life can be, but our salvation can't be. Can't be destroyed. Can't be lost. Can't be overridden. Can't be taken away. What Jesus said, what was his promise? I've got you in my hand. And if that's not good enough for you, he says, my Father had you in his hand. And no one can take you away. So it's not only incorruptible, it's not only undefiled, it not only doesn't fade away, it's not only that you are reserved in heaven, but it goes on to say that you are kept through faith to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept, not by your power, not by my power, not because of our works, but by the power of God. That's our 45th point. You are kept through faith by the power of God. He's not done. He's got another one there, doesn't he? Number 46, every believer... The believer is to be revealed in the last times. In verse 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready. Don't lose that word. You, beloved, are ready. I'm ready. What's the Lord say? The Lord says, blessed are them that look for Jesus to come. Why? We're ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? I have nothing else to stay here for. Everything for me is reserved in heaven. My wife is saved. My children are saved. My grandchildren are supposed to be saved. And if they weren't, I'm still ready. I got families not saved. I wish they were. I'm like Paul. Remember Paul in Romans 9 and 10 where he pleaded for his people? Would that God would save them? But he's ready, wasn't he? And I'm ready to be revealed in the last time, number 46. Why are you ready? Because God has made you ready. God has given you everything you need to be ready. He's made you ready for the glory that He's reserved for you in heaven. Oh, what a day it'll be.
Amen.
What a day it will be when we finally get there. John 17. Now, that's a lot of points for 1 Peter 1, 3, 4, 5, isn't it? We covered what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points in those scriptures. I told you, God packs His word full. And we're still not getting everything. Brother Moses done a wonderful work, but we're never perfect. We can't gather it all. Even the greatest minds can't comprehend everything of God. He's so wonderful. But when we think about the security of a believer, when we think about eternal security, number 47 pretty much puts it all in perspective. I started this out by going back to the first few points where God promised eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus that we're born from above. Born again means born from above. That means you're born of God. Begat means that God hath birthed you. God gave you promises in those first few points, didn't He? And God told you how He saved your soul, didn't He? That right there is enough. I mean, you don't need to go beyond Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, do you? For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, it's the gift of God. For we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. Well, let's go to the Lord's Prayer. You know, what I love about the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not talking about the model prayer, I'm talking about His actual prayer right before His arrest. What's so fascinating about this prayer, I don't care what part of history you're in, whether you lived 2,000 years ago or you lived 2,000 years from today, Jesus Christ prayed for you. In this prayer, He prayed for you, every one of us. 47, if the believer is secure because that Jesus did pray for us. Notice verse 9 of John 17, He says, I prayed for them. Who? The world. No, He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou givest me out of the world. That's the elect. Jesus, He wasn't praying just for the ones with Him, the ones He were leaving behind. He said, I'm praying not for the world, Father, but I'm praying for everyone that you gave me out of the world. Well, thine they are. I'm sorry, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Don't lose those words. Jesus said He's glorified in you. And now I am no more in the world, because He's leaving, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. This is powerful right here, folks. Next few words. Listen closely. He says, thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. God's promise. God promised his son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, when he gave us to him, that they would be a precious gift and he would never lose one of them. Not one single solitary saint of God has ever fell back out of salvation. They are eternally secured, every single solitary one of them. Jesus prayed for us to be kept. He says, Father, you gave them to me. And because you gave them to me, and because I died for them, because you gave them faith to believe, he didn't say, I'll never lose one. He said, I'm not going to lose any of them. I'm going to keep them all. Because they're in your hands, Father. And you have them. And because they're in your hand, Father, they're in my hand. And nobody, no power, nothing in existence, not even themselves, can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. It's a promise of God. John 11. Few chapters back, we're going to see another promise of God, number 48. The believer shall never die. You can't die. Jesus will give you eternal life. Eternal life don't die. We call things eternal. A man and woman say, well, I'll eternally love you. Our love will never die. Well, that is true if they're both saved brothers and sisters in Christ. But as husband and wife, that love will die. If they're not both saved, they could get into a fight and that love could die. We're in Christ. We're kept in Christ. He says in John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, what's it say? Shall never die. And then the wonderful question, believest thou thus? Do you? I do. God told me I would never die. Jesus told me I would never die. I believe him. I will never die, ever. Back to John 17. You ever wonder why you're a good person? You ever wonder why you're a Christian and you're a good person? All Christians are if they're doing the will of God. If you're going to church, you're studying the Bible, you're learning things, you try to walk in the Word, that's as good as you can get, isn't it? What's the Spirit? The Holy Spirit tells us that if we're walking in Him, that is, if we're walking in the Word, we're not walking in evil, are we? Our 49th point is, the believer is to be kept from the evil. You're not good at keeping yourself from evil. No more you are keeping yourself saved. No more as you are keeping yourself a good church member. Keeping your faith strong in the Word. Now, you don't do any of that. God does it all for you. John 17, verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Jesus prayed that God would keep you from evil. Why did he do that? Because only God can. Jesus prays that the believer may be kept from the devil. Was that prayer answered for you? You don't know how simple it is? Look at Job. Look at Job. Look at Job's life. God called him the most righteous man on earth. And he will never curse me. And then he allowed Satan to take everything he had, even his children. And he didn't, did he? Could God have kept that from happening? Sure he could have. You only are allowed to do in this life what God allows you to do. Let's get number 50. And we'll start Sunday with 51. Because 51, I love. I love them all. Don't you just love them all? Say in John 17, we got one more there. Sunday morning, we're going to John 6. I love John 6. I love them all. I mean, just wherever you're at. Number 50, the believer is to be with Christ in glory. It's ordained. Look at verse 24 in John 17. Father, I will that they also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am. You hear what Jesus just prayed for you for? That you will be with him where he is. Why does he pray for that? Is that just Jesus praying? Is that just like, you know, Jesus decided? No. Jesus never done anything just to do it. He never said anything just to say it. He meant what he said. He knows he's going to die. He knows that the Holy Spirit's going to have to raise him from the grave. But before he does, he prayed for you that you will be with him where he is and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, he said. Even he praised God the Father for his own glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ just prayed that the Father would make sure that we're with him in glory. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Halfway, folks. Halfway through it.
Praise the Lord.